anguish involved in any successful marriage. But they will also go on to say that the suffering and sacrifice in the long run has been well worth it, because the happiness has been in excess of the cost. And then if you push them a little bit more, they will also admit that the happiness has come into their married life precisely because of the suffering and sacrifice in their marriage relationship. It is those elements that transformed them. The sacrifice and suffering were the elements that made them, as a married couple, better people, richer in life, and fuller human beings. And today, all of the readings of Holy Scripture accent that point, that all commitments that we people make will always require sacrifice and suffering. That the promise of any kind of happiness is going to demand transformation. And to be transformed means that first, there's some dying to self that must be accomplished. Now, most times in our life, the sacrifice involves the loss of our own selfishness and rigidity and pseudo-independence. If any one of us has ever made a commitment to a spouse, to a parent, to a child, from that moment on, we no longer live our life merely for ourselves. From that moment on, we also live it for the other person. And that means always giving up so much of what we like to do or have. There is no commitment without cost, no relationship without pain, no transformation without suffering, no Easter without Good Friday, and no resurrection without the cross. And there is no love for anyone. No love without heartaches. And the experience today of Jesus and his followers when they went up to Mount Tabor was simply the barest hint of resurrection. But it was also a sign that the commitment that Jesus had made to the Father also required that he would have to go to Jerusalem to suffer and die. Jesus had to die before the full reality of that transfiguration on Mount Tabor could become manifest to all humankind, not just to the three disciples. So too, we must die to our selfishness, our own defensiveness, day in and day out, all through the days of our lives. It is true that love does transfigure us, just as it transfigured Jesus on Mount Tabor. But the transfiguration that comes from commitment only occurs after we have paid the price of commitment, only after we have given ourselves to the other. And so there is a Calvary, there is a cross, there's a Good Friday, always as a price of transfiguration. And I myself do not speak from some kind of a vacuum, because the words I preach are written in blood. Sometimes people ask why I'm in the valley. It's so simple, because the moments of Mount Tabor are very infrequent. And not only is this the price that you and I pay in the traumatic sufferings of life, it also happens to be the ordinary daily surrender of self to go on day in and day out trying to be patient and generous and tender to other people despite their lack of understanding or appreciation. And yet it is precisely in that way that our personalities are liberated, and whatever it is that lies below is able to be demonstrated. And there happens to be a profound psychological and human truth in this insight, that we must always suffer before we are able to exalt. Even in the ordinary experiences of growth in our daily lives, we only become better human beings by dying to some part of ourselves. And that is why, in particular, the good example of the close relationship between a husband and wife is only able to expand and grow into a deeper love when that husband and wife are willing to die, day in and day out, to their own selfish, defensive, vindictive, punitive, impatient inclinations. Marriage begins with a transfiguration experience, but then again and again the married couple go down together into the valley of suffering before they're able to come up on the other side for the momentary times of Mount Tabor. And that cycle of constant suffering and dying to self and then rejoicing goes on frequently, sometimes even daily, in their lives together. And so today, it's no longer Abraham sacrificing Isaac, the folktale. Instead, today, the covenant is a sacrifice of self. It is each one of us allowing ourselves to be sacrificed, but not as a doormat, not as someone without self-respect, but as a generous, patient, unselfish person. And sometimes even that kind of unselfish love decides that one must draw a line, decide that it is a time for confrontation, a time to resist, and a time to say no, it is enough. Generosity also sometimes requires bluntness, courage, and a straightforward confrontation. And even that eventually becomes a kind of practiced art of knowing when the proper time arrives to speak up and say, this is enough. Or to decide when it is not yet time to speak up and perhaps to wait just a little bit longer. This is the way in which the personality and the person grows and becomes. And in this season of Lent, when we're supposed to discover integrity, and when some people do decide upon self-imposed penance, far better if we simply accepted life as it comes to us each day, but with a different approach, of human sacrifice, and we are the victims. And even though it's true there are Lenten special self-imposed penances, and they're appropriate, it always remains true that the real, most authentic kind of penance, filled with integrity, is a dying to yourself and your own selfishness. These are the kind of sacrifices that really are capable of transforming you into a new kind of person. What are the most difficult sacrifices for you if you really searched your heart that could really make you a person of deeper commitment to the people of your family, to the people of the parish, to the people of the community? And are you willing to improve the kind of quality of self-sacrifice during the springtime of the Spirit? Thank you.